Jeremiah chapter 3. The Bible says we're to meddle not with them that are given to change.
Right.
Never seen folks changing so fast. I tell the church, if it's ever right, it's still right.
Right. Amen.
Right and wrong don't change.
Right. That's right.
Don't. Right.
I'm glad he makes a difference in our change.
Yes.
Read from Malachi chapter 3. For the end of the year, I was thinking back. It's been a tough year at church. Seems like every year it gets tougher.
Yeah.
We need a revival of manhood.
Amen.
That would lead their families in the ways of God.
That's right.
But so far it hadn't happened. But it could happen. God wants it to happen.
Right.
And your wife wants it to happen if she's right.
Right.
You may have a heifer and don't want nobody to lead her, but if she's right, she wants you to lead her.
Amen. Amen.
Not ramrod her and push her, but take care of her.
That's right.
Provide for her, protect her.
Amen.
You can get by the whole lot about me, but don't monkey with my wife.
Amen.
I know I'm saved, but I ain't sure how sanctified I am. Just the truth. All right, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "Ye have said, is it vain to serve God? And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that worketh wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." I want to remind you that here in Malachi, the folks were talking about, is it really profitable to serve God?
Yeah.
It seemed like the heathen gain and we lose. It's according to what you're talking about lose. Richest man probably in our town, I saw him, and he said, "How you doing?" I said, "Boy, I've made good investments this year." I said, "I've got some paying 30 and some 60 and some 100. He said, "My goodness, where are you banking?" I said, "On the other side."
Amen.
I told Brother Hyde at supper, everything that you worship, if it's not God, you're going away from it every day you live. We're going the wrong way, and I thank God for his goodness, mercy, and his grace. I appreciate the lady singing. At home, we'd say her thermostat stuck. She's getting overheated. And some of you need to change thermostats or something. You look a little stiff. But I remind you that the very goodness of God ought to get us off our hind end and our hands in the air. To praise the good Lord of heaven for coming to us in our way. I was reading over there in the Old Testament, and they said, is it profitable to serve God? You know, is it profitable to pray to God? You know, and the world looks at us and said, y'all don't have anything. Well, they don't know what we have. What we have is inside. I'm thankful for where I live. I got a good place to live and sleep in 1,800 beds. So far, it hasn't broke down. But I'm going to tell you, that's not really what I got. What I got 1970 when I got born in the family of God. And God moved in my heart and made the course of my life different than it ever been in my life. So just want to run through a few things to you and remind you we're coming in a new year and we don't know what's going on. Somebody said this is down, this is down, this is down. Nobody wants to work. Everybody that will work is working and the rest of it us working, paying for them. And the list can go on, but I'm telling you that it's a good year that God is going to give us a chance to preach the gospel, try to build up and edify the saints and challenge sinners to repentance. We go down to jail once a month. We go for 3 services. We even do the women. We take ladies from church with us. We take 8 or 10. He lets us take a keyboard, books, Mountain Dew, Honey Bun. You take a Mountain Dew to jail, they'll listen, boy. They like it. And one of them told me, he said, "I ain't had a Mountain Dew in 7 months. I said, "Don't blame me. Where you stay at, I had one anytime I wanted." But I'm telling you, God has been good to us down there and took care of us and watched over us and provided for us and put us in somebody in the providence of God that would allow us in the doors to preach. So I thought about what is the profit of serving God. If you're talking about dimes and nickels and noses, it may not. I read one time where a little boy asked his daddy, he said, "Are we rich? Will we ever be rich?" He said, "Son, we're already rich. We just might someday have money." And that's the truth. You can get that on the way home. But I'm telling you, just because you might not have much here, we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And everything above hell is a bonus. And I tell you, I can't name one thing that I can honestly say that I need. If I had one request that God gave me, said, "I'll give you one request, you go." I said, "Save my son in Atlanta and let me go home." Amen. That's exactly right. But I remind you, I was thinking, I'd write down some things in November about the prophet of serving God. I remember when I got saved and I quit my job, went to college. And they said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "That's what I wonder." Put me in a third grade book and I didn't know anything, but I knew I was called to preach. I'd go up there in the woods and preach sometimes. Squirrels made more movement than did at church, but I was having a good time. God had been so good to me. I couldn't hardly pass a test, but my wife outlined my Bible. I could read it, and I got through it, and God, it was good to me. I left all that money in Michigan and went and took a job, $37 a week, and never missed a meal. Praise God. I mean, one time I worked IGA, he said, "You have all the canned goods that's dent." One time I got dog food. And all them cans, they're probably graded better than the food we eat anyway. But I'm telling you, He always took care of me. He always made a way. I can't name a time that He did not come through. It might not have been on my time, but it's on His time. He came through and took care of me, watched over me. And I don't have a sad story in my heart. The very goodness of God that granted me repentance and led me to Calvary was God Almighty and His sovereignty and His grace and His mercy and His goodness, and I praise Him. I thought about Calvary. I was raised in the Catholic Church. We got a Catholic man coming about 3 months now, and maybe four. He's coming more than most of the members. And so I asked him about it. He said, "I'm not a practicing Catholic." So I said, "Well, ain't no use. Ain't nothing to practice. I was raised in it. I know about it. I can do a Hail Mary like him and all that stuff, but that won't save you. Mary couldn't save herself. And that Peter wasn't the first post. He had a wife. Mother-in-law. You know, if he had a mother-in-law, he had a wife. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's false doctrine and heresy and a damnable heresy. It's about as bad as that 1, 2, 3 repeat after me in Baptist churches. Amen. I hate it. But I'm telling you, he said in 1 Timothy, "It came in the world to save sinners." He said, "Whom I am chief." It's hard to find a sin anymore. Everybody's a victim. Somebody slapped them somewhere. Somebody made them mad. But I tell you, it's a great day of my life when the Holy Ghost woke me up and let me know that I was dead, defiled, and dirty without God. You ever think about this? I read a book the other day. It says it's hard to believe. For that natural man, it is. You just will to come clean about it. I mean, he may have a background. It may be against God. I mean, I was raised in a broken home. Mama married more time than a woman 12. Never knew where we was going to stay. I saw God in grandma. All but outside of that, there wasn't much light anywhere. And sometimes we're buried in tradition. Sometimes it's just teaching that's been false. So, I mean, sometimes we're our own God. We don't need anybody else. But oh, what a happy day when I found out that Calvary, He who knew no sin was made to be sin. That we might be made the righteous of God in Him. I said, hallelujah. Thank God it's still the blood. Amen. I take my wife to a Muslim doctor. He's the head of the temple. He loves me deaf. And he said, "Jesus, what's a good way?" I said, "He stopped right there. He's the only way. It's just one way. No other way. It ain't but one door. It ain't but one light turns on the door. Amen. He is the only way. Thank God that it wasn't a multiple choice that night I got in. The light came on. The door opened up, granted me repentance and faith to go in the door. I want to say, oh, what a Savior is mine. I'm glad that if He's yours, but I press God that is my Savior, that is mine. He's mine. And more than that, I'm His because He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. I thought about also in Romans 5:8, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. See, we like people if they'll do what we say. Said, you know, if you could straighten up, we down there to jail, and they all got to go to AA. I was drunk for years, never went to AA. I've been sober 48 years last Sunday. I got saved on a Sunday, my wife's birthday. And I tell you what I told them. I said, now, if you got to go to AA, get out. You can go to AA and go to hell. I said, if you never drink another drop, you can go to hell, because God requires that which is past. And you ain't going to get by just being sober. And the women are all mad at the men, you know. They hate men in there. And I told them, I said, you know what the problem is? If you wasn't a whore, there wouldn't be so many whoremongers.
Right.
One of them black ladies said, I can't believe you said that in church, she said. But I'm telling you, that's right. Supply and demand keeps everything going. And I'm telling you, you can blame everybody for your problems. And I realize a lot of people's messed people up. But the bottom line is, you'll look in the mirror of the Word of God and see that it's you that needs God. And it's nobody else's fault for the shape you're in. But you, we're a victim of choices. And choices have consequences. I thought about also the church. I tell you, I love the church. I'm a local church man. I thank God I'm pastor of one church. I come here to help the preacher, and if you like it, it's good. But if he likes it, I don't give a flip if you like it or not. You ought to like it if he likes it. Amen. That's just how I believe. Amen. I'm telling you, it was a church. I got saved on a Wednesday night. I've been saved 48 years. Don't get mad at me. But I ain't missed service yet from being sick.
Amen.
Now, I know folks are sick. Don't fuss at me. My wife's missed church. And you know, but I'm amazed that what works on Monday won't work on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah. Them aspirins you can take on, you know, you get all, so I got hit, but I got to get that extra strength. Well, extra strength preaching help you on Sunday.
Amen.
Y'all getting off quiet on me now, ain't you?
Right.
But it's still right.
Yeah.
I had a woman, she's still mad at me. She had her picture in the paper, perfect attendance. She didn't have it at church.
Right.
So I saw it.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, no, what you ought to do is take a day off from work and at least make your work record like your church record.
Yeah.
I'd say she'd been 40 years mad. She's madder than a hornet.
Yeah.
Well, that's just tough. That's what it is.
Right.
And the church, it's a pillar of ground in truth.
Right.
He said, oh, in Hebrew, not forsaking the assembly. You know, when you come to church, you encourage somebody else at church.
Right.
You may be coming here tired. You wore out. Say, I wonder how long he going to run Ray. Well, some of it might be up to you while you look. But I'm telling you, I appreciate you coming. I understand we have folks sometimes just come in dirty and everything else, been to work. They ain't got time to get a bath. But I'm telling you, I thank God. I got some of them with Crohn's disease. They're sick. I got a boy, 21 years old, with Crohn's disease. Had a bag put on the other day, sits on the front row. I'm sure sometimes he don't even feel like coming. We got a man that's deacon there that's taking chemo, had to quit. Said the chemo's worse than cancer. And I'm telling you what, he still come right on to church. He's a thanking God, praising God. I mean, it's wonderful. You get strength when you see the other saints of God. See, everybody don't live in a good place. Everybody don't get to come to church together. Some women married to a nut. A wimp. Probably got laced on his drawers. Just loose. Don't even care. Except for him, he'd lay up on the couch, his feet swarped, won't work, won't do nothing, just bring me something. All he wants is TV or internet or some kind of entertainment. Don't care about his family. I'm going to tell you, family's soon gone. You better spend time with them, man.
Right.
He'll soon be gone.
That's right.
And all you'll have is reruns in your mind. And I'll tell you, women, something. If you got a man that supports you and loves you, y'all thank God.
Amen.
Sometimes one woman said, I don't like where he puts his socks. I said, y'all thank God it's in the right address.
Amen.
Quit worrying about where the socks are. Just thank God that's the right address.
Amen.
Make sure that's the right bed. Don't worry about where he puts them. Just glad he does. Now, I ain't talking about coming in like a pig, but I'm telling you, when that man's worked all day and hard to come home, it ain't time to ask him what he wants to eat. He ought to have something to eat.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now, some of you women praying on me, lift your head up now. I know it's you. Come on now. It's just got to work this thing together.
Sure.
I tell my wife, if you ask me at 4:30 what I want for supper at 5, just go in there and get it. It's too late. And I don't care what she puts on the table. I weigh less now. Having 15 years, she's sick, can't eat much. So we've been just splitting the place. It's helping her, I guess. It's really helping me. But I don't want to get too much and the wind blow me away and somebody with me.
Yeah.
Them lights is on. Isn't that beautiful? The church lights are on.
Amen.
That world rides by out there and say, wonder what they doing over there west side tonight.
Yeah.
Got the lights on Wednesday night. Don't say no. That y'all just go on home and rear back and get ready for a good ball game, the Mildcats or somebody in Kentucky and all that muck. But I'm telling you, it's thanking God. I go to church. You don't have to do it. I go to church at 6:30 usually on Sunday. And I have a good time before they get there. In fact, I have preached for the gutter. I have went there and preached around a little bit and testified, you know, thanking God. I mean, they give me the keys to the church.
Yeah.
The bar never gave me that.
Right.
I got the keys to the church.
Amen.
They let me use a snow shovel.
Amen.
Now, I had two back surgeries. They've been taking care of me on that. But I'm telling you, church has been good to me.
Amen.
I mean, they buy my groceries every week.
That's right.
They pay my light bill.
Amen.
They let me drive a good car.
Yeah.
They said, give him a good car, because if he breaks down, we got to go get him. Don't know how to do nothing. My wife said she wouldn't make one of them honey-do lists. She'd be afraid I'd try.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good way to stay ignorant, fellas. You get by the Lord. But I'm thankful for the church.
Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, there are different people in the church. In every great church, there's vessels of honor and dishonor.
That's right.
There's wheat and tares. You can't do nothing about that.
Right.
But I want to thank God for the good people.
Amen.
I want to thank God for them people keep the lights on.
Amen.
I want to thank God for good men that back the man of God and help the church and the ladies to pray and help. And do. I praise God for the church.
Amen.
I thank God, boy, I thank God for the church.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for nothing
Amen.
Else. I didn't know he wasn't supposed to preach against the Masons. And one time I got on that, they ain't too strong no more. But Lord, of mercy, they got mad.
Yeah.
First funeral I ever had, I didn't know what Masons was. They come out there and had aprons on.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that in my life.
Yeah.
I said, what is this? They said, we're the Order of Masonic Lodge, Masons. Well, I got up in a big way preaching at the funeral. And I said, well, if I know y'all's going to wear them diapers, I went by and got me some diapers and put them on.
Yeah.
And besides that, I got a fruit jar at home. Says, Masons, if that's all you got, you empty the fruit jar, you're going to hell.
Yeah. Right.
Son, they about ready to throw me in a hole in the graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, of mercy, they got mad.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I don't want to be a part of nothing. But the church, the pillar of ground of truth. And I love the church. I love the people of God. I see some of them come in and they're sick and weary. One lady had cancer and she'd come and she couldn't walk no more. She'd say, preacher, it might be my last time. But I want to tell you, I love you. Glory to God Almighty. It's like a tornado come through the building and looks like an explosion coming through. I tell you, some of y'all can't lift up your hand. I tell you, if you get your hand up, you get better. And it's, you know, I used driving old Mercedes and everybody was bad in town. That thing wore out and I got it. You couldn't afford no parts. I said, God, don't let it break down. I can't fix it. And you start that thing, that antenna just start going up. I said, ain't that something? The guy said, yeah, it'd be something to it won't work. But you know what I got thinking about? I said, you know what? When that antenna starts going up, I can get reception.
Yeah.
And if you get your antenna up at church, you probably get better reception. Some of y'all sitting on your hind end, got your hands in there and got super glue on your drawers or Gorilla Glue. A couple of them look like you're swelling up on me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not nervous. But I'm telling you, you do good. And it also helped the man of God a little bit. And then I thought about my calling. Isn't that amazing? That God would took frail people like us to allow to carry the gospel. Call me out of darkness.
Yes, sir.
I mean, dark. I didn't know nothing. I knew I was in trouble. Didn't know how to get out.
Right.
Really didn't want out.
Yes,
finally got where I wanted out and couldn't get out.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that one, two, three stuff won't work.
No, sir.
But I was sitting there in that church and God started dealing with my heart.
Amen.
Working on my heart. You couldn't harden me to 45. You go walk down that aisle, but the Holy Ghost brought me down.
Amen.
Preacher said, why are you coming? I don't know why I'm coming. I don't even know why I'm here. But when I got on praying down there and asking God to do something for me, it's different when I got up.
Amen.
I noticed the next day when I got off, when I usually stop and get me a beer, I just went right on by.
Amen.
I almost got home. I said, well, this is something. I ain't even stopped.
Amen.
And then I thought about it. You know what? I smoked them stogies. If I had money, I liked Dutch Masters, but if I broke, I had to smoke Swisher Sweets. And I thought about, you know what? I ain't smoked all day. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to pull on a piece of my leg, see if it's real.
Yeah.
Oh, my soul. I'm going to tell you the problem, church, is we don't see enough of that anymore.
Right.
We see a lot of joiners. They don't know what but joining. And the first time you preach something they don't like, I got a boy coming. Man, he's pretty old. And not old as me. Everybody's about younger than me. But anyway, they said, you can't get him in church. I said, well, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
He'd been to the hospital a couple of months. We went to see him. My wife said, well, if you go to the hospital to see him, you need to go to his home. Well, I said, all right. So I went over there. He said, what do you want? I said, all right, let's come see. Everybody thinks the preacher got all the money. You got to watch him. You know, he ought to take something while he's in there. And so I talked to him, and I said, I'd sure like to see you come to church. He said, I don't know about all that. I said, got to be careful, you know. He said, all them preachers are hypocrites. I said, well, I know a lot of them. I know some of them, ain't. You know what? He pulled up in the driveway at church. Amen. Come in. I ain't going to lie to you. I almost didn't believe it. So I went to see, I go see him every week. I took him some country ham. Now, you sure ain't going to get mad at the man to take your country ham. So I took some country ham over. He said, what's that? I said, country ham. He said, real? I said, yeah, real. So he finds fault with everything. You know. So come back next time. I said, Mr. Hudson, I'd like to take you to breakfast. He said, take me to breakfast. I said, yeah, I'll pay for it. Now, son, everybody thinks I'm crazy, and some of you looking at me like I am. And you know what, brother, huh? I took him to breakfast. He called his son, told him, he said, Daddy, maybe he ain't as bad as everybody said. He come last Sunday.
Amen.
The worst problem I got, you know, is sometimes his kin folks are there and they not much, so I got to kind of keep them away from him.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm waiting on God to call him out.
Amen.
If I can read him in, somebody else can read him out.
That's right.
And if I can talk him into it, somebody else can talk him out of it.
That's right.
But if the Holy Ghost rings his bell, makes it real in his soul, and he see Calvary like I saw him, as he who did not sin was made to be sin, that it might be made the rights of God in him, high, holy, and lifted up. Sovereign God, saying, whosoever will, let him come, taste the death for every man. Oh, what a Savior. I ran to the Calvary. Whoa! I remind you also, when I got saved, been profitable to change companies. I don't run that crowd I used to run with. I'm going to tell you, Christmas is a hard time at church. I told them at church what we ought to do at Thanksgiving is put on a sign out front, Santa won. We'll see you first of the year.
Yeah.
A church not far from me had Santa Claus come in a fat suit. I guess he's fat or pillows one. And he read the Christmas story, said he's going to read the gospel to the children. That's abominations in the house of God.
Right.
But we ain't hardly got anybody to say that anymore.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Most preachers, they went down to Midas and got a muffler put on, can't roar.
Amen. Right.
Good Lord, good devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything is according to where they at and what they are.
Right.
Preach one thing here, another thing another way, and there really ain't nothing either place.
Right.
But I'm telling you, that old crowd, I love them.
Amen,
got a deacon sat on the front row. Can't read, can't write. I've been preaching to him 41 years. You say, Lord, how in the world he lived through? We struggling tonight.
Yeah.
41 years, Mars, been preaching to him.
Yeah.
Never one time has it crossed me. He's the only man I ever had. And I've been in some high water, buddy, that told his wife to be quiet and listen to the preacher.
Amen.
One man.
Amen.
And he needed to tell her.
Yes.
Some family members in trouble, and I told him it wasn't a Cornerstone whorehouse, it was a Cornerstone Baptist church, and the horns quit him.
Amen.
And he stayed with me.
Yes.
Every once in a while, he'll get up and he said, around Easter, he'll say, I believe he rears. I said, me too, he rears.
Amen.
Every once in a while, he'll testify and say, I'm glad I brought him to town.
Yes.
Over 40 years ago, so I'm still glad I did.
Amen.
I mean, that's our people.
Right.
Run with the people of God.
Yes.
I don't care nothing about that. I mean, I don't mind a witness to them, talk to them. But I'm going to tell you, that ain't my company.
Right, man.
I ain't home with them.
Right.
I feel out of place.
Yes.
Granny, you sang, this world's not my home. I didn't know what it was, but I know now. Know a little bit more about it than I did then, amen. She'd say, I fly away. I said, Lord God, she's so fat she can't fly. But I tell you right now, I'm knowing better about it. I feel like every once in a while that I'm on the runway and feel like I'm just waiting on my call and set my sail to another world.
Right.
Just every once in a while.
Amen.
Psalms 119, 165. I've got too many clicks. He said, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. Now, you can get over there in Proverbs and be a companion of fools. Boy, I like the people of God.
Yeah.
I love to be around them. When I go back to Michigan, I try to go see a couple of people. One of them's not saved. He come to a funeral I preached. He said he still ain't got over it. I said, yeah, you better get over the funeral and not get over what was preached.
Right.
Go by and see him. The church they go to was the best revival meeting I ever went to in my life. They stayed to 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, confessing sin. We don't have no sin anymore. We as well as take the altars out. Everybody's so holy.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't know what they are. They fussed. We took them out and they fussed. We won't go to them.
Right.
But I'm telling you, now, they liberal.
Right.
Got bastard Bibles.
Uh-huh.
If I tell them if you ain't got a King James Bible, you got a bastard Bible.
Amen.
I just wore a mat. I got in with it. I'm going home with it.
Amen.
I ain't got no use for that other mess.
Amen.
I told church, they said, we need to put some urinals in. I said, I went up there and he said, you know, American standard. I said, no, as far as I'm concerned, all the American standard ought to be flushed permanently. I ain't putting nothing in American standard. I'm tough now, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, when the people of God, we've had some hard licks at church. One boy got one leg, lost it in a motorcycle wreck. He was young. He was young. I went to the hospital. And here he is with leg cut off, and I'm preaching Proverbs to him. That's crazy. That's what I did. Still on that bench. He said hard licks. You almost knocked him out. Almost sunk. Had bills. Couldn't pay him. Hospital. Had a little procedure done. Got staff or Mercer and liked to die. Said he had $4,000 worth of bills. Said, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I said, well, we'll just pray about it. Lift offering.
Yeah.
Now, we ain't got 60-something people. More than that come, but you ain't got to go too many of me going to join, you know. We passed that plate, got a little over $4,000.
Amen.
Well, that's a pretty good investment. Then that deacon, he got cancer and they can't give him chemo. Don't know what he's going to do. Didn't have this struggle. See, he was self-employed, now he can't work. So I told him, I said, we're going to help you. He told me, really, we didn't. Now, that's in pride, but I do the same thing. I'd rather give than have to get it. So one man said, you think we're going to get money? I said, we'll get $4,000. I didn't tell them we'll be here. Maybe. I remember you told Grandma Church, they counted, and it wasn't enough. They said, we're going again. Going again. So I said, we got over $4,000 first round. We try to take care of each other.
Yes, sir.
All them people call on the phone for help. First thing I ask them, where you work? They get mad. I said, where you go to church? Go to church. I said, yeah. If you don't want to go to church, why do you want our money? Just go where you... One of them said, well, I go over here to deliver. I said, well, I'll call the pastor and tell him you need help. He said, no, don't do that. I call him anyway. He said he won't listen. I said, throw him out or take care of him.
Right.
Yeah. His name's on the roll, you're okay in it. So they said, we down, you know, need it. I had one of them won't know if I put money in his bank account.
Uh-huh.
Never had that before. That's easy to answer, no. Now, I have a rule. If you come to church, and you need something, if you sit down in the pew and shut up and listen, we'll help you. I've had them get out and walk right in the middle of them, didn't want nothing. My wife said if they sit through it, they deserve it.
Yeah.
I had one drunk come, and he said, my girlfriend got 3 kids, and I want to give them $5 apiece, and I need $30. I said, first of all, you need a calculator. Mass bad. But if you come back at 11 o'clock,
yeah.
I had, he come back at 11 o'clock, drunker than he was at 9. I said, well, come in and sit down. I was preaching. He jumped up and said, I can't believe you said that in church. Drunk. Never say he didn't get none. He left.
Yeah.
But oh, to watch people grow in grace.
Right.
We had a fellow come. He's one of them modern churches. Preacher ride a motorcycle down the aisle, you know. Them blue jeans on. He's a hunk. He stinks is what he does. He ride that motorcycle down and goes up on the platform, you know. And he liked a girl there at church, so he come. He was dizzy. Brought a cup of Starbucks in. We call it $5 down home. We can't afford it. Smells good, but a little stout. One guy did buy me a cup, make sure I had one before I died, because he knew I wasn't going to do it. And so I looked at him, and them deacons said, oh, Lord, it's going to be rough. I never said a word. But he come back a second Sunday. Starbucks. Somebody, I didn't talk to him directly, but he ain't brought one since.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what he do now. He's in my corner, ain't he, Mom? He loves me. Married that girl there. They was wanting me to do some things at wedding I couldn't do. See, when I came here, I told him I decided who I married and buried. The last three weddings I ain't went to.
Yeah.
Y'all going to get quiet now because them mamas will swell up and get them horns out. But if it ain't right, I ain't doing it.
Right.
And if it ain't right, you ain't having it in church.
Right.
But now I'll tell you what I do. When they say I do, I get on their team. I want them to make it.
Yeah.
They're all three of them, sir. Still coming.
Yes, sir.
I treat them right.
Yeah.
One of them was crying. Says, oh, preacher, I come here all my life. I said, why would you ask me that then? Said, preacher, oh, come on, baby. Oh, I said, just well, it's quit. I ain't going to do it. Well, we want to have some pictures by the lake. I said, we'll get one of them inflatable pools and blow it up outside the church. No, I said no. Good supporter, testifying Sunday night.
Yeah, amen.
Then I'll tell you something else. I marvel at the course that God has sent me on. I mean, it's been profitable for me.
Amen.
I mean, it's been so good. You know, God, I look back, Brother High, and I look back and I say, Lord, I could not have designed my life as good as you've done.
Right.
I went over in the mountains. I saw it said all night prayer meeting. I said, I'm going there. And said, preaching. I said, man, I might get up. I told you. I mean, they said, whoever, you know, the mountain people say, whoever got the message.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right, me. I didn't know a soul in the building. I was up at RJ. They said, who got the message? Well, nobody said a word. I said, sir, I got it. He said, you can have first. He said, who got the message for second? Nobody said. I said, sir, I can get that in two. No, you just got first. In the providence of God, out of that, there were some people there at Mission Pineville Baptist Church, didn't have a pastor. They thought so bad about everybody been thrown in the Cumberland River. And they come over Sunday morning and said, we want you to come preach. I preached all the way through school.
Amen.
They going to pay me $65 a week.
Amen.
I was making 37 sacking groceries. Son, I about doubled my salary. I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
We didn't have no bathroom. The only water we had to run is spicky. We built an outhouse. And everybody over to college said, Matthias got a building program. Making fun of me. 2 weeks ago, I preached in a log church. Been there 200 years. One room. No heat. One little heater. No spigot. Outside. Bathroom behind the cemetery. And ain't no lights. That's interesting. But I'll tell you what. They said, you won't eat? I said, no, I want dry clothes and get out of here. He said, well, here's the offer. And I said, just take it and buy some heat. So I told the men at church, we need to get them some heaters. We're going to buy them heat, got a big heater. And then we're going to pay to run the gas line under there to it. I could run it, but I ain't going to do it because some of them dummies will blow it up, believe me.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you how slow they are out there. One woman stood up in church and said, now, Pastor, I don't know about running that gas line under the building because somebody walks over it, it might break. I said, Brother John, you need to put slow her down quick. She ain't got a full day. But we're going to help them. We done bought the heater. I took it to them. We're going to pay for the rest of it. He said, we want you to come back. I said, I'll be back, but not real quick. Get that heater in. But there are a lot of people. You know, I preached over in the West Indies. 21 days out there in them jungles.
Yeah.
I'd take a bath in the yard. That's a little strange for me. take one of them gourds and go out there behind the house. I was looking around all the time, you know. Well, some of them go downtown with a spigot and hold their finger over and spray each other in their drawers. I didn't do that. But you know when we went to church? About make you want to go to West Indies. Didn't have no lights. Didn't have nothing. Just preach as long as you want to. They groan and moan and thanking God. Mosquitoes everywhere. But my, we had a time. I'm telling you what. I was down there at Brother Section the other day. We support him in Mexico and all that. I mean, he up on top of a mountain. And he said they'll sit there for 2 and 3 hours and never move. Some of y'all worried now you're going to miss your program. I missed mine, you know what? I ain't had TV since 79. And I ain't smarter than you. But my mind might be a little better shape than yours. Because I'm heading towards 75. If I'd have kept that, I'd have been a moron by now. And I ain't got no internet. I preached the whole sermon on the internet, y'all would have died. I believe in it. You ain't have a job without it. But you got to leave it as a tool. Tool. And I don't know many people that bring their house leave it as a tool. It's getting pretty quiet in here now. I'm going to tell you, if you defend all that pornography and everything on there, you messed up. It's a tool. You can't have a job without it. I mean, it's getting where you can't do nothing. I understand. I preached a sermon on tattoos and got out to jail and they knew more about it than I did. Somebody done got the word down there on me. But everybody in there got tattoos. I told more Revival Americans had zinc. I got tattoos. That's why I wear long sleeve shirts. And I got mine before the revival started. I've never seen so many pagan people with crosses on.
Right.
Down the other night, one of them had one down his head. He should have put an X instead of a cross. I don't y'all get quiet on me. I'm about done. But I'm telling you that the company you keep and the course you take will determine how you live and what you desire. I mean, a lot of folks want to stay in the comfort zone. Stay in that comfort. That's why Christmas is so hard. Because you're dumped in with all them pagans. And you'll sit there real quiet. And let them take over. I was telling Brother Hyatt Supper. When my son come, he pastors. And I said, now son, when you come, no cell phones can come in the house during Christmas. If you ain't got 30 minutes to an hour to spend your daddy, then you ought to just stay home. Am I all right? I mean, that ain't very much. I tell them at church. Some of them have business. They got it on vibrate. Sometimes they get shook. I think it's the Holy Ghost. It's a phone. And I understand all that. But I'm telling you, we are so consumed with this world that we think people strange.
Yeah.
It ain't. We went to Canada, Brother Messi. Good, godly man. I don't know where in the world he preached that in America. Make me look like a Roman Catholic. We got there at the border, said, open the door. Well, we opened the door. He said, pull in. You got too many clothes in that car. And everywhere you go, you got too many clothes. I mean, they treated us awful. Kept us there 2 hours. And I had a holster for my gun, but I didn't have it. And I got it out there tonight. But I didn't have it. He said, where's that gun? Well, I left it home. And then he's throwing stuff everywhere. We had sausage, which they didn't know what it was. He took it in there and put it under an eye machine, look inside of it. And then he just stole it in the car like a jump shot. Busted my cooler, had a 50-pound bag of beans in there for him. They done sprouted the time we got there. Boy, I was hot. Wife's nervous. He kept shaking my Bible. I said, sir, don't tear that thing up. He said, you know, I could fine you $2,000, I guess, for having too many clothes. I'm glad he didn't. But I'm telling you, we're pressured into molds. I try to respect him. I try to respect people in high places. The judge there in town hates my guts, and he's trying to make me do something that's dangerous. And I told him, I said, I don't need to be on no jury because I'm over jail 3 times a month. And every one of them guilty, as far as I'm concerned, I hang them all. And I don't believe in electric chair. I believe in electric couches. Get 3 at a time. It'd be cheaper on us taxpayers. He said, I'm not going to let you off. Dr. Allen said, well, his back's a bad. He said, I don't care what he said. I said, well, Judge Gill, I want to tell you something. He's sitting there with a guard with a gun and said, you know, why don't he go over to jail? They hate him.
Yeah.
I said, I have great respect for your position, but nothing of your opinion.
Yeah.
You know where I learned all that? Running with the right people.
Right.
I told my wife not long ago, if we got saved today like this modern day, we wouldn't have changed much. We got so many drinking Baptists, card playing Baptists, naked Baptists. Well, some of them jaybirds at home got more feathers on. Some of them Baptists wear clothes.
Right.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Then I'll mind you this and I'll be done. I thank God for correction.
Yes, sir.
It's been profitable for me.
Amen.
For the correct. I mean, before I was corrected, I went astray. Many times in my life, I teetered around, but God, I remember when I was in college, they had a bunch of tapes with heresy. I didn't know what heresy was, couldn't have spelled it.
Yeah.
But I listened to one that didn't ring.
Right.
Holy Ghost said, leave it alone.
Amen.
God correct me. I told him, I took it back. I said, I don't want it. They said, Matthias, you just ain't smart. I said, don't want it. We don't go to heaven head first, we go heart first.
Amen.
And Holy Ghost said, leave it alone.
That's right.
Amen. Correction. I thank God for it.
Yes.
God's been good to me on that.
Amen.
I want to remind you of this course we're on, I'm done. I lost some of you a little earlier. But you might come back around and the ship comes in.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, this world's not our home.
Right. Right.
Like I say, I got a good place to live.
Amen.
I built it out of rejects and surpluses and cabinets that come out of, I mean, it's awful. I went in a cabinet store and I bought them off the wall. I told them to build a kitchen and fit them. Got a good price. It's best, but I like it. Keeps me dry.
Yes.
Takes care of me.
Yes.
I was raised pitiful, poor. But I'm going to tell you something. It's wonderful.
Amen. Right.
You know what's wonderful about it? You don't have to have a lot of company. When you ain't got no technology, they ain't coming.
Right.
What y'all need to do is breathe. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I said, what do you do for a pastor? Pastor, I ain't got no time. I'm busy. Pastor's the only white church in town. Population of our town, 69. I'm busy. We got more people in church than we got in town. And they come 5 counties. Ain't nobody in town come to church. They say it's crazy. I don't want y'all to vote tonight on it. But I'm telling you, I saw Grandma when she didn't have nothing, go in that kitchen and sing and praise God. I saw her shout around the wood stove, worship God, praise Him. And I'm going to tell you, she didn't have nothing. I got a lot. But I don't want anything I got to have me.
Right. That's right.
My wife got sick and they said that medicine was $1,100 a month. One bottle.
Yeah.
I said, I couldn't call Obama because I didn't vote for him. Trump wasn't in, so that wouldn't help me. He'd be tweeter and I couldn't get him. I wish the thing would break, but I told my wife, I said, now listen, we're not going to sit here this stuff and you not have medicine. So I started selling some guns. And tried the insurance. They said it wouldn't help us. We'd done everything. And finally, I can't even tell you what I told them you'd think. But anyway, they started helping me. They're going to let us have 2-3 bottles for $2,000. Well, that's third off. Now we get a letter, they ain't going to pay nothing this coming year. So a guy, he said, we found this company and they said it'd help you. You know, I don't know if it will or not, but I've signed it. But I'm going to tell you, every time that she's had a need or I had a need, God has made a way. Every time. You know what? He set a table in the wilderness. What are you worried about in Salisbury? Set a table in the wilderness. I mean, it's a blessing. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Seed begging bread. Got some people in church so poor. So poor. Her husband died. We helped take care of her.
Yes, yes.
She's not a scriptural widow. But her children are such heathens. They won't help her. That's wicked.
Yes.
She needed a car. We helped her. She had tars. We helped her. I don't know. We just helped her. I told her daughter, I said, you know, we're helping your mama, but you ought to be helping her. You're a daughter. Now, I'm not saying that you could do everything, but you give $10 a month, I'd brag on you.
Amen.
Well, you can come up $10 or $20 a month. You get a cheaper rate on the cell phone, get that. You know what? She ain't paid yet. We're still taking care of her. She got a son, won't pay a dime. We're still helping her. I'm going to tell you something, church. If we look around, we got to take care of our own.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you spend all your money at Walmart, you better go down to Walmart and see about an offering. And if you don't tithe, and I know it, we don't help you. Brother Hyde, you better have prayer. But I'm telling you, the curse of God's on you. Your bag got a hole in it. And that's the easiest part of my Christian life. And you know, really, if all you ever do is tithe, then all you're going to meet God with just being honest, not giving.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, that's good.
Come on.
Oh, yes. That's true. He'll bless you. And I'm thankful for the other side. I'm thankful for heaven.
Amen.
It's getting better all the time.
Right.
It's looking a little clearer.
Yes, yes.
It's looking a little better.
Yes.
Getting dark. Everybody down the church saying, oh, it's getting so dark. Well, let the light shine. We go over to the nursing home. I don't go. We got probably 35 to go. And I'm going to tell you, I said, they don't care about you old, ugly, fat people. They want you to bring the children. And we take them children and go to them rooms and bring them out in wheelchairs. And they're just happy. Children don't come and say, where are the kids at? I said, they don't care about you old, fat people. I want them children to got good memories in their hearts. There are a lot of lonely people. There are a lot of people sitting in pews that are lonely.
Yep.
That's why we need to be a family.
Amen. That's right.
Not be an inspector, but a family.
That's it.
Help them out. Try to encourage them on and get them down the road. Help them to grow in grace and grow up and be something. Amen. For the glory of God. I want to remind you, in my life, and yours too, if you think. The midnight tent is sign out. If you think, you'll be thankful. It's pretty good.
Yep.
And I don't know what's going to happen this year, and you don't either. But I do know one thing. I ain't going to take a baby aspirin. He took care of me 48 years.
Yep.
And I ain't going to doubt him now.
Right.
He brought me through storms. I've been so low.
Yeah.
If that door right there had been closed, I could have went under it.
Yeah.
I've been that low. I've laid on the floor. Wish the sun wouldn't even come up. Uh-huh. But the sun come up.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost got me up.
Amen.
I feel like I couldn't go on.
Yes, sir.
But something inside of me said, go. I like something was burning inside and I can't quit. I got to go on. I mean, my family's watching me. My friends are watching me. Church are watching me. We're on a public display in a hellbound world. And let's occupy till he comes.
Amen. Yes, God help.
Amen.
Feel like traveling.
Amen.
Well, you come.
Praise
oh, what a say.
Amen.